It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Oh, we are off and running on a Misery Motown Monday. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. The Commanders are not in the win column. But it was a heck of a entertaining game. It was a good effort. It was not a well-played game in a lot of ways. But, you know, there are good losses, there are bad losses, there are understandable losses. And when I say good losses, it's really hard to find those. I wouldn't put this in the good loss category, me. I would put this in the understandable loss category. This is not, you know, I was listening to Coach Sheehan on the way in, and he had somebody who had emailed him or tweeted him or whatever, and he was like, oh, this is the worst loss ever. And I just had someone also, he was like, you should be all over them, Kevin. Oh, you should crush them. And then I just had somebody compare the loss on my timeline to the Super Bowl loss, like the first of four Super Bowl. No, guys. 28-27 in week 10 of the regular season, you know, where you could have won, should have won, maybe. Sorry. It's not the same. I'm sorry. It's just not. Like, and even though it sucks, and now we're almost, like, entitled to think that, you know, we should win every game around here. It's not going to happen. A, it's not going to happen against really good teams or pretty good teams. I'm kind of stuck on the Steelers between being good at their foundation, pretty good, and really good at times. It's not going to happen even against poor teams. They almost lost last week at MetLife Stadium. You know, a couple of things here and there, maybe one or two things. They could have lost that game too. They didn't. They could have lost, should have lost, maybe deserved to against the Bears. So for anybody to think that this is a bad loss, no, you know what's a bad loss? Losing to the Chicago Bears, getting annihilated at home early last October on a Thursday night after you went to Philly, played an overtime game, which a lot of people had an issue with Ron Rivera on, lost a heartbreaker, and then turned around 4 days later and got ambushed at home on Thursday night, that's a bad loss. Not yesterday. Now, before we get into the rest of the show, first of all, a tribute, a message, I guess, if you will, happy Veterans Day to those who have served our country and have defended our freedom and have advocated for what should be the American way of life and have put your life and your family on the line. We can't thank you enough. It's not good enough. Hopefully you know people care and are appreciative. That's number one. Number two, welcome back, Mr. Me. Mr. Underscore Me. See, it's been so long since I've said it. 10 days. 93, Matt Essig. Matty Ice. Something like that. I know I'm not. I hope you are. Back from Cancun. How are you, Matty?
I'm doing pretty good.
I hope you feel rested and refreshed. All the things that I don't feel.
Oh, great trip. A lot of real fun experiences. Yes, very resting, very relaxing. Got to see some baby turtles, which was awesome.
You just
awesome.
Showed me the video. I mean, it was quite the accumulation.
Yes. And, yeah.
I'm you wouldn't want those things back. Like barking around at your feet, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, no. I mean, well, they won't mess you up that badly. It's more along the lines
badly.
Of... Well, it's more along the lines of they have, like, diseases and stuff that are bad for us.
Yeah, it's probably not something that you want. Well, we'll get more into your vacation as we go along throughout the week, but I'm glad you're back. Boy, did I miss you. I mean, you know, Metal Chris and JT the Vic, they tried their best to take care of me, but, you know, between the two of us, or the three of us, I guess, there were just things wrong with this studio and the phone mechanic software and the queue and the talk back every day. Somehow we made it through and we didn't kill anybody. And I think we had a really, really, really good week of radio. You would have appreciated all the people that we had on.
Oh, I saw. You had a lot of good guests.
But it was the mechanics, if you will, behind the scenes and maybe on the air were a little bit frustrating and a little bit difficult to deal with. So I am very thankful to have you back for more reasons than just that, but also so that we could actually function and operate. Like, because you seem to know like a bunch of things that we don't know and I don't know, certainly. And it's good to have you back. And I'm glad you had a vacation and glad you got to recharge the batteries and all that stuff. So welcome back. I wish the Commanders would have won for you, but they did not. And that's what we are here, obviously, to talk about at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. It's a short week. We're heading up to Philadelphia. We'll do the show from Lincoln Financial Field on Thursday afternoon, starting at 1, God willing, if I can make it up there in one piece. And if they open the doors for the old rooster, which they supposedly they will. And we will do the show from Philadelphia on Thursday for Thursday night football. Now, listen, again, it's not a bad loss. It's not the worst loss in this franchise's existence or one of or anything like that. Did they play good enough? Of course not. Of course not. Did they make too many mistakes? Yes. Did they play with a certain spirit and effort and hustle and grit at times? Yes. Did they catch a break or two or three or four along the way? Yes. Did they do enough to win? No. And that's what we're here, obviously, to discuss. All of it. And we'll start, of course, in reverse, with the Johnny Mathis jumping into the neutral zone. Listen, everybody knows the kid is super uber talented, right? Number 36 overall pick. He ran out of feet to get surgery on. He missed the first game, missed all of training camp, all of the preseason. Took him a while to get ramped up. He's been very noticeable. He backside hustles his ass off. He's never out of a play. He's just going to get better and better and better and better and better and better and better if he can stay on the field. Johnny Newton made a terrible mistake. He knew it. I talked to him after the game. We were right at his locker room. I guess somebody reported, and I don't know who it was, maybe it was after I left, that he cried. Because the junkies asked me about that this morning, and I didn't see that. But maybe I was missing the tears in his eyes, but I was literally right next to him. I didn't see that. So maybe I missed it. I don't know. Maybe it happened after I left. I don't know. Here's what I know. as we were talking to Johnny Newton and as he was accepting blame and as he was saying, look, man, I just screwed up. I got too overamped. I was trying to make a play, even though there wasn't really a play to be made because they weren't going to run on fourth and one. They were going to punt it away and try and force the Commanders to go half the field to kick a long field goal. And if they did, they would have won and the Steelers would have lost. And we all know what would have happened. It would have been mayhem around here. But that being said, Johnny Newton did something that you just can't do. It's something that sometimes veterans do too, never mind rookies. Bad mistake. But he was talking about the brotherhood that we've all heard so much of. And, you know, at times I've kind of wondered how authentic that is, how real that is, how that develops so quickly, right? But it did, and it does. And I do feel it is very legitimate. And here's just one example. For those that didn't follow me on, you know, social media, at Chris Russell DC on Instagram, at WrestleMania621, I put up the video, I told the story, told it on the Junkies this morning. As Jerzon Newton is talking about the brotherhood and how everybody had his back, and that was the message that was given and provided, as he was saying that, the quarterback, Jaden Daniels, walks up on his way to the shower. And I don't think there's any way that he could have heard in a noisy locker room Johnny Newton, who was not talking loudly like I am now, not projecting, not enunciating. There's no way, in my estimation, Jaden Daniels could have heard that, what he was saying about the brotherhood and his teammates having his back, and that was the message, and that was the point, and all that stuff. And Jaden Daniels stops between me and Sam Fortier and somebody else, I forget who, and he just looks at Johnny Newton and he high-fives him. And he, you know, muttered something like, you know, we got you. You know, we have your back. Something like that. I can't remember exactly what he said. I don't want to misquote him. But it was like, what you see out of veteran leaders, not just and not always out of Heisman Trophy winning, have the world by the proverbial oysters quarterbacks. Again, not to say that rookie quarterbacks would never do something like that. I'm not suggesting that. But it just struck me standing there as Johnny Newton is talking about the brotherhood and how everybody has his back and how terrible he felt and how it was his fault and how he just got overamped and maybe it was something to do with kind of, you know, the dummy calls and whatnot that they had run during the game and he just couldn't stop himself, that Jaden timed it perfectly. And I've covered quarterbacks, I think you all know who I've covered, that would have done something like that because they were like lingering near and said, oh, this is a moment that I can make about me. I can make it about RG me. And that's not what my sense of Jaden Daniels was in any way, shape, or form. But I wanted to double down, so I actually asked Jaden after the game about it. And he described, again, how everybody outside of that locker room, everybody outside of the building can think whatever they want to think and blame whoever they want to blame. But they got each other's back. And they will continue to support. And I started to think, you know, maybe this thing, whatever this thing is, this brotherhood, this united front, whatever, is more real than even we thought it was. And maybe somehow, some way, it will propel them to a big, gritty, gutty performance on Thursday night. It almost propelled them to a win that, quite honestly, they should have had, could have had, didn't, shouldn't, maybe shouldn't have had, didn't deserve, what have you. It almost did. against arguably the second best coach in the NFL, because I don't know how you could say he's as good as Andy Reid, even though Mike Tomlin is a badass. And he's now 14-4 off of byes, and he's 27-6 against rookie quarterbacks all time, straight up. And all the numbers that I threw out all weekend. I mean, Mike Tomlin is a badass. And this team, the Commanders, played them toe-to-toe, soup to nuts, A to Z, everything in between, punch for punch, and barely came up short. Now, there's lots of reasons why they barely came up short. We're going to obviously get to them over the course of the next 3 hours and over the course of the next several days. We'll do so with Jay Gruden at 3 o'clock. We'll do so with you on the phones at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. But it's not a bad loss. It's an understandable loss. It's a frustrating loss. It's an understandable loss. That doesn't mean you don't get frustrated. That doesn't mean you just chalk it up as, oh, okay, there was nothing we could do about that. That's not the case. But it's not a bad loss. It's a frustrating loss. It's an understandable loss. It's a loss in which if you correct the things, some of the things, not even all of the things that you did wrong, you win. And you could win on Thursday night in Philadelphia. When we return, we'll start knocking down your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. But also we'll go down the next most controversial moment, if you will, amongst all of the moments in the game. But the spotting of the Zach Ertz catch, because I think I have new information that I didn't have until about 15 minutes or so before the show. We'll explain that next. And we'll grab your phone calls at 301-230-0980 if you want to get in now. Get in and aboard right here, right now. We want to hear from you. Who do you blame for the Commanders' loss? We'll touch on some of the potential candidates next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, it is still a Motown Monday, just unfortunately a misery Motown Monday as opposed to a victory Motown Monday, which is always sweeter. Right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We'll get out to your calls in just a couple of moments. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 if you want to get aboard. First, I do want to congratulate my guy John Keim for his 500th game yesterday. The Commanders did an excellent, excellent job. They honored him on the in-stadium scoreboard. They had a video display in the press conference room after the game. They did a presentation in the press box at the end of the first quarter where his wife and sons came in to the press box. He did not know they were there. They presented him with a jersey. Also, my guy Resch from Tegna, who actually was the one that kind of spearheaded a lot of this and did a lot of the calculations on how this became John's 500th game, you know, in terms of postseason and all that stuff. He's been covering the team since 1994. It's a lot of losing football. So congratulations to John. Nobody's done it better in my, you know, I wasn't around for everybody, but those that I know, and it's a lot, those that I know, nobody's done it better than John, period. You don't have to always agree with everything that he says. And he's not like, he's not a guy that goes and fires off boisterous opinions like I do or like others do. John is much more measured and mature and emotionally stable. I'm not. I'm better at it, but I'm not. The point being is nobody's done it better. And there's been a lot of good beat people. A lot of good beat people. Nobody's done it better. So want to send a quick shout out to our guy, John Keim of ESPN, who I've known for 15 years of those 30 years, and I've probably covered, I don't know, 125 games with, or somewhere in that range. I don't know if they I don't think they counted the preseason games, but I can't remember what Resch sent me. But anyway, congratulations to John. And if you want to send him a congratulations message, it's at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. And I've got the video up there and all that. Bill Hoffheimer, who's an excellent publicist of ESPN, was kind enough to share it, which got it around to a lot of national people and ESPN Nation people and all that good stuff. So anyway, just want to make mention of that. The next thing that we have to get to is the spot of the Zach Ertz 4th and 9. Listen, I think we all know that there wasn't 100% conclusive, overwhelming, no doubt about it, surefire evidence to suggest that it was clearly a first down. But what there was 100% evidence, in my opinion, and I think in every reasonable opinion, is that the ball was spotted at the 42-yard line and it never should have been spotted at the 42-yard line. At the very worst, we're talking at the 41.1, and when I'm saying 0.1, there's 3 feet in a yard. 0.1 would be about a foot is what I'm talking about. 0.2 would be 2 feet between the 41 and the 42. You get where I'm coming from? So the bottom line is, the ball was spotted at the 42. The catch was made at, I think, just north, meaning closer to the 42 than, let me say this, closer to the 41 than the 42. The spot was put directly on the 42. That's where the Steelers took over on 4th and 9. Again, I think any reasonable argument can be made that he did not actually get over the first down marker. And remember, that line is digital. It's not official. Remember, we still use an absolutely archaic system of chains and measurements and eye tests and all the nonsense. I'm going to have something on this in just a wee little bit, but I just want to go in. Here's what I discovered watching the All 22 Nikki put up, Nikki Javala from the Post. And then I went back in NFL Pro and I watched it with Toby, and we were just trying to size it up, eye it up, and kind of evaluate it and try and be honest, right? I mean, it serves me no good to just be a cheerleader. It serves me, I think, right, and this show right, to be honest with you. And say, I don't know for sure if he absolutely, conclusively, 100% got the first down. But I know the spot shouldn't have been at the 42. I know that 100%. So here's what we discovered, right? If you look at the video Nikki posted, or if you have an NFL Pro account, you can watch the All 22 or whatever. If you see the sideline angle shot, the official who marks the ball, who races in, is all the way on the Bears, not the Bears, the Steelers sideline, at the 50, at the 50, at the line of scrimmage. Then, at the catch, he's drifting up a little bit, and he's at the 48 at the moment of the catch. Again, the marker, the line of gain is 41. So he's still 7 yards away from the play and on the Steelers sideline. He's literally on the white paint of the Steelers sideline. You see him drift up at the point of the catch. He's at the 48. Then, and it's radio, so it's harder to describe this, he starts running along the Steelers sideline, not towards the play, not towards the catch. He starts running sideways along the Steelers sideline up towards the 41 or the 42-yard line from the 48 at the point of the catch, then runs on a beeline towards the actual catch and the play. So he goes sideways first on the Steelers sideline from the 40, from the 50 originally line of scrimmage to the 48 at the time of the catch to about the 42-yard line roughly before he then makes a right turn, like a 90-degree turn, and makes a beeline towards the actual catch spot, tackle, what have you. At that point, he is blocked by, I think it was number 37, if memory serves me correct, of the Steelers, directly as he's running towards the play and the spot and the catch. He's blocked. He cannot see. He cannot see. Cannot see. And yet, then he kind of waddles, wavers, whatever you, waffles, whatever the hell you want to, whatever W word you want to put, out to the 42-yard line. And that's where they spot the damn ball. And how do I know that? Because even though the all 22 cuts off, when the Steelers take over, that's where they take over. At the 42, not the 41, not the 41 and change, not the 41 and a half, not the 41.1, not the 41.2, not the 42.41.9 tenths. What it, they take over at the 42-yard line. So either they screwed that up or they screwed up the spot, the original spot, which is what I think they did, and which is what I know we did or they did, and which is what everybody seems to agree on. In Washington land. Now, again, maybe this is spoiled milk. Maybe this is homerism. I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know if it was absolutely a first down. I know the spot was wrong. And here's the mechanism. And what I don't understand for the life of me, boys and girls, what I don't understand is how in a league where everything is digital and computerized and we have next-gen stats up the ass, chip technology, this technology, analytics amigos, crap, everything, where we have 9,000 games in 9,000 countries, where we have literally chips on every player to measure all sorts of things, and where we should, and I thought we had in every ball, maybe it's not, I don't know, chips in every ball. Why can't we get a system that puts the ball accurately where it should be spotted and measures a first down or not a first down digitally with conclusive technology? I don't understand that at all. I don't understand it. Maybe you have a different answer. I don't. But then again, this is a league that loves to allow personal foul face masks against quarterbacks on Thursday night over and over and over and over again and has a mechanism to correct it and just simply refuses to correct it. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised. All right, let's do a trending alert and then we'll get right out to your calls. I just wanted to get through those two big things first. The Johnny Newton play and as well the spotting. And certainly you can weigh in. Also, who do you blame for the loss? Was it the offense? Was it the defense? Was it Olamide Zaccheaus on special teams? Jaden Daniels specifically? Is it the coaches? What do you think? Is it just, hey man, the Steelers are a pretty good team, and they won a game in which the Commanders made too many mistakes. Let's do it right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so on this Monday, Dan Quinn has already spoke. He did not have any injury updates. That's not a surprise. Team will practice at 2:30 tomorrow, and then have a walkthrough light practice on Wednesday before leaving for Philadelphia. Thursday night football against the surging Eagles, who dump trucked the Dallas Cowboys yesterday in Dallas. Tonight, Monday night football wraps up week 10. We'll join it in progress. Dolphins and the Rams right around 9:30 or so via our friends at Westwood One, also on the Odyssey app. We don't know about Tyreek Hill at this point. He is questionable for the Miami Dolphins. Before that, we have Florida A&M at Maryland. Terps basketball beginning at 6:30 right after Craig Hoffman. So again, you can listen to that on Bloomberg 99.1. You have the Wizards in Houston against the Rockets starting at 7:45 for the pregame coverage again on Bloomberg 99.1 FM. And that's what's trending. Alrighty, once again, a salute to the troops, both those who have served and are currently serving. On this Veterans Day Monday, a lot of people with the day off. As we always remind you, please remember why you have that day off. Just think about anybody that has served. And if you have served, tell Maddie, we'll put you to the front of the line. So let's get to it. We'll go through the rest of the game as we do the show, but I wanted to highlight, obviously, the Johnny Newton and the spot on the Zach Ertz. And again, I just don't understand how this league makes $16-plus billion, cares so much about playing games in Afghanistan and North Korea, and yet cannot fix what is such an obvious problem again. And you might be asking, like, what is such an obvious problem? It is the fact that we've got digital chip technology for everything, and we can't find a way to get an accurate spot, even upon review.
The irony of the entire situation, because I'm sure you can recall last year when they did the Toy Story game on Disney Plus, where it was they made all the players little characters, the ball had the exact same arcs, they literally had people juking and all that kind of stuff, and you could see it, and yet we can't figure out proper ball placement. We can real time.
Am I missing something here?
I think we're all missing
maybe
something.
The balls all have chips in them that I know some of them do. I know they experiment. I can't remember exactly what. How can we not? How do we get all of the information we get for next gen stats? Cushion, air targets, this, that, separation, blah, speed, time to throw, blah, 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 blah. How, like, they can measure every player's everything, okay? Including things you probably don't want measured. And yet, we can't get a proper mechanism to measure the spot of the ball. I don't get it. It's befuddling to me.
That would just take away from the history of the game. It's kind of like the pitch clock. You can't do that. You can't have robo-umps. That takes away from the history of the game.
I don't want to take away officials, though. I just want to make it right when it's obviously not right. And they reviewed it and still spotted the ball at the 42-yard line.
That's
after the review.
I don't understand, because you could clearly see that he was not down at the 42. Like a full yard, not down at the 42. And yet, I don't understand why they didn't re-spot the ball. They can still say, hey, under review, we realized it is actually 10 inches from the first down. It is still first down, Pittsburgh, but
exactly. We determined that it did not cross the line of gain, but we're re-spotting the football at the 41.1, as I keep calling it, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully everybody understands what I'm talking about. And we're going to measure just to make sure. But I think people could live with that. Not that they would be happy about it, but I think they could live with that. Instead, we walk away having...
It feels like there was due process to be had, and instead they said, meh, we're fine,
yeah,
and
we're
just
good.
Walked away.
Nothing to see here. Don't look over here, guys. 301-230-0980. All right, we'll get out to the calls. But first, we start with our guy who is currently doing so much still to serve our country, the great AP. Is that a false
finally
start? No. Yes.
Chris Russell.
Happy Veterans Day.
Acknowledgement.
Woo! One's in the air, brother. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your support, Chris.
You got it. It's the least I can do.
I am very, 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 very angry right now. I mean, the way we lost yesterday, like, and then, you know, my son, he's approaching the terrible twos. I'm trying to get him ready while watching the game, and you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
not
just
easy.
The way we lost, yeah, and the way we lost, and just seeing that visual of the fans of the Pittsburgh Steelers waving those godforsaken towels.
Yep. Well, we haven't even gotten to that yet, but yes, that was. I mean, I don't know about you, AP. That was expected for me, even though they are 7-2. Meaning, well, they were 7-2 now, 7-3. I expected that because the Steelers fans travel to every road game, and you know, it's a 4.5-hour trip. I mean, totally understandable.
It's expected. I mean, you know, when the schedule came out, they were probably already at Ticketmaster and wherever else buying up the tickets. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, let's be real. We didn't see 7-2 before yesterday's game. So, you know, the fans are just starting to get involved on our end. So it is what it is. But as far as who's to blame, I mean, we can point the finger in so many different ways. Like the muff punts by Alameda Zacchaeus, like. After the first punt, I would have had to sit him down. I mean, I don't know what happened on the sidelines after the first muff, but that's where coaching comes in, where you got to just sit a guy down and say, look, man, what's going on? Is it the nerves? Calm your guy down. Talk to him like, look, man, look, we trust you back there. We need you to just secure the ball first before you even think about doing anything else.
Well, here's the bigger issue, though, AP. It's not just, you know, after the first muff, right, which he recovers, and then the second time fumbles, and it leads directly to a touchdown 3 plays later or whatever it was. It's the fact that he butchered a punt in the Carolina game. I just went back and watched it on All 22 last night because I wanted to make sure that I was right. He butchered and misjudged catching a punt, and they thought it went off of him, so people were running around like chickens with their head cut off, scrambling all over the place, and ultimately the ball got downed at the 1 yard line. Right, so he misjudged, butchered that, whatever you want to call that. It wasn't a fumble, it wasn't a muff, but it was close enough where people didn't know what the hell was going on. One, and then he fumbled on an actual punt return against Chicago the next week, two weeks ago or whatever it was. So now that's 4 mishaps in the last 3 games.
Yeah, I'm sensing the trend. And now, what's that wide receiver we used to always give crap to? He used to play for college-wise. He was in the same college as Zach Wilson.
Dax Milne. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dax Milne. Yeah. I would do anything for his shorthanded self right about now.
I'm hoping somehow they can get Jamison Crowder back, you know, off of
somebody.
And I don't know where he's at in terms of that. I'm not sure, but, I mean, it's tough with a short week and all that stuff. I mean, I think their best plan now, they wouldn't exactly admit it. I don't think after those 2 fumbles he actually caught or returned a single punt. After that, I don't remember that happening. I'll go back and again double check, but I'm pretty sure all of them were not either caught or just, you know, allowed to fall or went out of bounds or what have you. So they say they've got confidence in him. Listen, OZ was on the show 2 weeks ago. I don't want to trash him, but I mean, boy, that's a major, 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 major worry.
Definitely. And I mean, I'm not trying to butcher him either. I mean, you know, as they say, the brotherhood and having each other's back. But there's a thin line between having each other's back and supporting each other, but then having each other's back and executing and taking care of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done good thus far at the quarterback position by not turning the ball over. But, you know, we had the potential to win that game. You take away St. Juice and those muff punts, and we're having a different conversation right now. Yep. But I know you got many calls. That's
thank you,
I
AP. Thank you again for your service. Always appreciate you. Happy Veterans Day to you. Let's go quickly to Kevin in Virginia here before we take a timeout and reset on the Team 980. Kev, how are you?
Good, Chris. How are you? A little frustrated, that's all.
Understood. But, understood.
Yep.
It's okay. Like I tried to say, it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to say, you know what, man, they should have won. It's just, in my opinion, I don't know if you agree, it's not a bad loss.
I'm just worried it might hurt their momentum. especially with this game coming up and them having only 2 days to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, to prepare for it, you know, that they're going to get down and they won't be able to bounce back, and then they go on a losing streak. But that's my only concern. But what I wanted to raise was, we need another receiver. Jaden did his job. He put the ball where it could have been caught on several occasions. The rule is, if you can touch the ball, you should catch it. You know, these guys are professionals. McCaffrey blew one. Brown blew one. Noah Brown blew one.
Zach Ertz had
one. You need another receiver, and they doubled Terry the whole game. Mm-hmm. And the thing with J.C. Watt was, his goal wasn't to sack Daniels. His goal was to contain him. They did a great job containing him.
Did.
He had nowhere to run.
They did. You're right.
And
absolutely.
They really didn't have to sack him because he couldn't get around them like he does with other teams, where he can just take off for the sideline.
Yep.
He had nowhere he could go.
No, you're
and
absolutely
they did a great
right.
job containing him. But
the wide receiver thing is an interesting one, right? Because they have guys that are productive, and though they had drops, nine catches. You know, you could say, listen, if Jaden just pulls the string on the McCaffrey one, right? I mean, McCaffrey could be off to the races. Yet, honestly, that play probably shouldn't have counted one way or the other. It should have been a holding in the end zone and could have been a safety on Trent Scott on TJ Watt. So, you know, I mean, the game is a game of inches, of missed calls, what have you. The bottom line is it wasn't good enough yesterday to win against a good to potentially very good team, depending on the moment and the situation. I understand what you're saying. They've got to get better at some of these balls that are, if not drops, outright drops, contested non-catches. And I'll just take you back to the play right before the fourth down and nine. I just watched it again before the game. Noah Brown on the side, who's been great. But Noah Brown, you know, probably needs to come up with that. I mean, it's a little bit behind. It's a little bit over the shoulder of the Steeler defender. It's a tough catch, but he's probably got to make it. Kev, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. We'll let you run on that. We'll get to everyone else. Stay tuned. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Yeah, Terry McLaurin, 6 targets, 5 catches, 113, the long of 54. So good on that first scoring drive of the second half. The first time all year the Steelers have given up a point in the third quarter, and the Commanders went through them like a hot knife through butter on that first drive of the third quarter. Unfortunately, everything else, for the most part, was and sloppy and choppy. Back in a flash on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Matt, you just came in here and you got a phone call during the break or during the last segment. And it's an interesting perspective. I wish we could have gotten the caller on, but you told me the crux of the call, but I wanted you to explain it as briefly and as clearly as you could.
Yeah, shout out to Chris, who came in and talked to me about what the ruling actually is and why. In that situation, the NFL was under review and looking to see if it was or was not a first down. That was the only thing they were checking. And so at the point when they realized that he did not cross the 41-yard line, it's not a first down. They were not looking for placement. They were looking for that. So it goes immediately to the placement that the ref put down. So that's why it was at the 42, because despite the fact that they literally had to figure out where the ball went down, because they weren't checking for where the ball was and to make sure that it was accurate, they did not move it.
All right. So in a world where I don't quite understand how this league, which everybody thinks is so great, so grand, so smart, so whatever, and I think is dumb, I don't understand how you would determine whether a play or catch and a ball was past a certain marker right at the 41.
And it is also
important. And yet not start with, hey, did we spot the ball correctly or not? Where did we spot the ball? Then we can determine whether that's right or wrong or needs to be adjusted. Then we can determine via measurement, even though it's still an archaic system, we can then still determine by measurement, digital technology, replay assist, what have you, whether or not the ball crossed the line of game. Like, to me, the order of process doesn't make sense. And being that Dan Quinn, you correctly pointed out, I forgot this, it was under 2 minutes, so Dan Quinn couldn't challenge it. And I know coaches have challenged the line of game ruling in other situations before, and the ball has been, like, they're looking for the spot or the correct spot and whether or not the line of game was made or achieved or not. So to me, it doesn't make sense in a booth-initiated review, because it's under 2 minutes, how we're not we don't care about the spot. The spot here is important because that's how you're making the judgment. I guess when they go back to review, they're not looking at where the actual spot was. They're looking, like, to your point, the line of game. But
it's also important to note, in this moment, they do not care where the ref put the ball down. That is not. They're looking at the actual game review data. They're looking at the film, trying to figure out where the catch is, and that's all they're looking at. They're not trying to respot and reset and all that kind of stuff. This isn't a, hey, you got it wrong, we're challenging that, we want to get it to the right. They can't challenge that. In this situation, the only reason we got the ability to look at it was because the booth was like, hey, you got to look at that spot. That wasn't right. That might have been a first down. So,
Ultimately the spot doesn't matter is what they're saying.
No, if the booth hadn't even looked at it, it would have just been done and moving on.
I guess the digital chip technology, whatever that is, and what I don't know if it's in every game, every ball, I have no idea. Like, should be able to determine where that ball was caught initially, right? And where it is at the moment of the catch before the tackle is ultimately made, before Zach Ertz goes down. In addition to the spot being wrong, whatever that means, we should be able to determine more than just some 60-year-old in New York's eyes that, yay or nay, the ball was here at its furthest most point. And again, if we can measure everything that we can measure, next-gen stats and more, why don't we have that exact precise system that is available to everyone? I don't get. Now, Dan Quinn did say they're going to submit the play, or they have submitted the play, or what have you. I mean, it does no good. They're not going to change the result, obviously, but maybe they'll get some sort of an explanation. Hey, we screwed up. Hey, it was 3 inches short, whatever, however they determine that. So maybe it's me. I don't understand the rules. I don't know. I can't follow every single rule and every single thing, but appreciate Chris calling in to at least, to me, it would make sense. Spot the ball first, spot the ball correctly, then measure, then evaluate. But I guess I could see the other side. 301-230-0980. We don't have time to take a call because we wanted to make sure we were bringing that information to you. Almost 2 o'clock on the Team 980 on this Monday, November the 11th. And we will get all of your calls. Jay Gruden, an hour away, we'll ask him his thoughts on that very controversial play and the ending of that game next. Coming up, I should say, in an hour, your calls next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.